Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, it is your girl Cy Brown, and today is Thursday, July 17th, and I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you for joining me for another edition of Life Remixed Radio. We're broadcasting to you, coming at you live weekdays at noon from Times Square right here in New York City, just bringing you your daily dose of urban inspiration, conversations, solutions, and all that good stuff so you can achieve success in every area of your life. I just want to say, here in the city, it's hot. It is hot, hot, hot. I want to say a special thank you to my good buddy, Erica Jones, who was gracious enough to give me, let me say, give me an air conditioner. Everybody knows I just moved into my new house, and I don't have an air conditioner yet. We've got this big, commercial air conditioner that kind of blasts the whole front of the house, but my office in the back, my home office in the back was like roasting, and Eric was like, Cy, I have an extra one. So I said, I'll take it. So I just want to say, because of Erica, I had a good night of work in last night. So thank you very much, Erica. today's show is brought to you by the New York, New Jersey Master Your Mind Weekend Conference. It's taking place this weekend, in 2 days actually, at the Sheraton North Airport Hotel in North New Jersey. The website for more information is www.creatingpossibilitiesnow.com. The show today is also brought to you by Blog Talk Radio. And I just want to give a special thank you to our guest yesterday, Jason Ray from IDMware. He is the creator of that, and he was an amazing guest yesterday. And if you log on to CyBrown.com, you can hear yesterday's show. The chat room is now open, and for those of you that would like to call in, the studio line is 347-633-9113. And today we are speaking with Mr. Jose Villegas, who is actually the keynote speaker for the Master Your Mind Weekend taking place this weekend. And we had him on the line last week, and it was, I sat there stunned. So I'm not even going through my whole opening and introduction and all that stuff today. I'm going to jump right into today's conversation. So I just want to shout out, Mr. Jose, are you with us? Hold on. Let me just unmute him. Mr. Villegas, are you there?
Yes. Hi. How you doing, Cy?
Hey, how are you? I just want to say thank you for joining us again. Last week when you were on the line, I couldn't even talk. Because I was just listening. So right now I'm looking at my call timer. We have 25 minutes, and I want to use every second of every moment we have together today. And I know you're kind of in the middle of your day, so I just want to say thank you for joining us and just blessing us with the information and dropping us with the knowledge that you have. So before we jump into my questions for you, can you just share a little bit with my guests who you are and what it is that you do?
My name, Jose Villegas III, originally from Louisiana, New Orleans, that down south thing going again. I wrote Emotional Prisoner, Trapped Behind the Bars of My Thoughts, after serving time in my own mind, trapped by drugs, sex, shopping, overeating, people-pleasing, self-hatred, you name it. Anything you put pain behind, you put my name next to it. And so I wrote the book because I figured there had to be more people out there other than me. And because I wrote the book and put myself out there, I realized that, a lot of us suffer in silence. We think we're the only one going through it. And our mind would tell us, don't tell anybody that. You don't need to share that. So, this Master Your Mind series that we are doing this weekend is part of this process of me, because my pain was real deep, so my understanding is real high. See, the deeper your pain, the higher your understanding, And so that's why we're doing the Master Your Mind series, because the mind makes a great servant but an awful master.
You know what? I want to touch on something that you just said. I actually, the whole concept of this show when it started, we were just talking about today's hottest topics and, you know, from a faith-based perspective. And actually, I changed the concept of the show because people are suffering. There are many, many people suffering. And it's unfortunate that a lot of times, I know in black culture, you don't talk about this. Girl, you know you're not supposed to be talking about that. Or you don't need to be telling everybody your business. When in fact, I feel as it, having a radio show where I touch the lives of so many, people do need to hear your testimony. People do need to hear what you have to say because that's the only thing that I feel will encourage them to say, you know what, they went through the same thing I did, and now they're on the other side. Can you tell me a little bit about, Mr. Villegas, how you got out? You know, those of you who know was with us last week, and he just shared. He wrote the book Emotional Prisoner, on drugs, just living a very not good life. How did you get out? Like, walk us through the steps you took to get out.
Well, initially what happened was, like, I'm glad you said the part about sharing because what happened was I was in a drug treatment center for the fourth time, not one, two, and three, the fourth time. Because every time I left treatment, I thought I was ready to live, but life showed up, and I realized I didn't know how to live. So I ended up back on drugs, my escape route. And what happened was this last time I was in treatment for 10 days because that was all the insurance company would pay for. And then the guy came in, you know, was bringing people in to talk to us, right, to share their experiences, right? And I heard this guy share some stuff that I thought, you know, nobody would share that openly. You know, he was sharing about, you know, paying for the prostitutes, sleeping with other men. You know, I had did that, and I knew I wasn't gay. And I'm saying, hold on, I don't believe he's saying all that.
Right.
And when he, you know what I'm saying, I just was like, I mean, I was, let me tell you something, I was so shocked that I looked around to see if anybody looking at me, I was so shocked. That, you know what I'm saying, I was just like, oh, I don't believe he shared that. He had stole from his mom, I stole from my mom, you know what I mean? I had went through all of that. I said, I don't believe he shared that. But what I got in touch with was, is that I didn't, when I looked at him, it was like a light on, you know. He was sharing some deep stuff, but he didn't have the shame to go with it anymore. He wasn't looking down at the table. He was looking up. He was smiling. So I would go to AA meetings and start doing the same thing, right?
Oh, beautiful.
And what would happen was people couldn't handle it initially. I remember I shared at an AA meeting. The guy raised his hand and said, man, we just don't want to drink. You know what I'm saying? Take that stuff somewhere else, right?
Yep.
And I told him I ain't got nowhere else to go, you know, because I gave my testimony one time at church. The pastor said, son, that's enough. Thank you. Just cut me off. I just went too deep. I just, you know.
Go
ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I'm going to touch on that. Keep going. I'm going to touch on that issue, just what you said.
And so I kept talking. I'm telling you, here's another thing, too. Let me tell you this, folks. You have to understand your relationship with fear. See, if I gave into my fear what people thought of me, I would not be here today. You know what I found out fear is? It's a promotion to the next level. See, because I walked through my fear of people and kept sharing, kept talking. See, the initial people are going to attack you because they – see, when you start talking about you, eventually it's going to make them look at them.
Right.
See, you can't talk honestly about yourself and they not look at themselves. And so after I got off the drugs, right, I thought my life would get better. It did after it got worse first.
Right.
See, what I found out, see, there's the insanity that went with using drugs and drinking and buying sex and all that other stuff. Then after I stopped doing that, I was crazy. See, there was another set of insanity that was in my childhood. See, there's the insanity of being on a drug, but then there's the insanity that drove me to the drugs.
Right.
And so I started talking about, see, because I started having sex at 8 with an older relative.
Wow.
See, anyway, I was messed up way before I left home. You know, I used to peep through the keyhole and watch people take baths. Didn't matter if it was mom, the lady next door. If you come in my house going to bathroom, don't care what I'm doing, I'm dropping it. Run to the door. you know, I joke about it. These are some serious issues, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I make people laugh because I got to make you laugh because it's just some stuff too deep. You'd be hurting too much. You know, I got to backdoor you. I just can't drop this on you like that. you know, I used to ride my bike through the trail and sneak up on women and just feel them run me down, throw me off my bike, soak me half to death. I get up, dust myself off, do it again. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I was real crazy way before I got to a drug or alcohol. So
right.
How I got here is something about, let me tell you about, watch the power of confession.
Mm.
See, I was born, and my mom was Catholic, so they have a confession booth, right?
Right.
But I used to say, man, I ain't telling them what I did.
Right.
So I would never, I never knew the power of it till I got to, I heard that guy, and then I started doing. Here's the power of confession. Confession retrieves your soul out of the pain of the past. Catch that piece.
Wow.
Confession retrieves, it grabs your soul out of the pain of the past. And you know another thing keeps us stuck? We worry too much about what people think of us if we tell the truth.
I agree. Now, with that one, I have to totally agree, because when I started sharing my testimony and my deliverance out of the hip-hop industry, there's a lot of things I didn't want to share. I'm like, I don't want people thinking this. And I remember I was booked to speak at this Christian Education Youth Conference, and my presiding elder came up to me and said, well, you know, Saida, we want you to share, but we don't want the young people to think that you are a loose woman. And so and it wasn't that I was loose, it was just that I partied all the time. And it's funny how I almost had to change my testimony or gently tweak my testimony.
Exactly.
And that goes back to what you just said about the pastor saying, whoa, 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 you know, that's enough, that's a little bit too much. Because when you're starting to change your life and you're starting to get a hold of who your inner man is, doesn't it strike a nerve with other people?
It has to, because, see, when I first – why do you think we putting on the map? We actually putting on the maps of the mind, putting on my own seminar. You know why I'm putting on my own seminar? Because most places I go to, they want to restrict me.
Yeah.
They want to tell me you can't say this or that, and yet everybody in the place needing the truth. They
right.
say the truth. See, it says the truth will set you free. It didn't say pain-free. It said it would set you free. You know what I'm saying? People want pain-free. That's why they made Advil. You know, but so, I'm telling you this. You know, let me tell you what I feel like, how I feel now that I've been so truthful about my life over the last 10, 11, 12 years. I'm not a victim anymore of my bad habits.
Wow.
See, this freedom I have, it ain't about nobody else.
Right.
You know when I knew I had changed? When I stopped hurting me when I'm with me.
Can you explain that? Because you talk a lot about when you're alone, or being introspective. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, see, most people have a public life and a private life.
Right.
We look healthy in our public life and usually sick in our private one. See, when I'm by myself, I do a lot of things to myself, and then I go in depression. I exit life for 2 or 3 weeks, lose jobs, won't call in. I just lose everything for about 2 or 3 weeks, and then I come back and start living again, right? So
right.
when people see me, they see me always positive, but they don't know I just came out of the darkness. See,
right.
So a lot of times they only see me when I'm positive. They don't see me when I'm sick. And
right.
so that what would happen is I would hurt myself privately. You know, overeat, you know, spend all my money, drugs, alcohol, sex, you know, and I'm steady hurting me. But when you see, I used to go and do seminars and then go home and buy sex. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
I was living a double life. I was living a totally double life. And what I found out was is that it wasn't what you thought of me, it's what I thought of me. And
right.
so when I started working on myself privately, and my wife helped me with that, see, because you don't know a person until you live with them. Or work
yep.
with them.
You are so
and my wife, yeah, my wife would say, you know, you can take that motivational stuff to them people out there. I know you. You know,
right.
I tell her some motivational stuff, and then she'll
right.
see me over there. She'll see me over there, you know, tripping on some X-rated movie. You see what I'm saying?
Yep, yep,
so that was
yep.
a contradiction for her. You know, like, I don't want to hear that. I see you. And I knew
right.
at that moment, that I had to have victory in my private life.
Wow.
I had to. And here's the key. You can't get free by yourself. See, I have to tell you the truth about me so I can hear the truth and know the truth about me. See, I can't live the truth about me if I don't tell it, because if I could, I wouldn't have to tell you, right?
That's right. And one of the things you said is that you personally, in the event that's happening this weekend, is that you need a change partner. Talk about what a change partner is.
Well, that's very important, because you cannot change your mind by yourself. The mind is too slick. And plus, we have a sneaky nature. You got to watch the mind. The mind will dress itself up as a solution when in actuality it's the problem. So what a change partner is, here's what a change partner is. You know, you in AA and NA, Narcotics Anonymous, they have what they call sponsors. And then you have other places that have mentors and big brothers, and those are mostly advisors to help you go through a process. We don't want you to go, I don't want that. We want a change partner. What is a change partner? A change partner is a person that me and them decide to change together. So the first rule is everybody, both persons need to be telling on themselves. See, that's how the relationship gets strong, because my change partner lives in Detroit. Doesn't matter how far they live. I just got on the phone with him. We've been talking now. We've been talking four times already. It's just, what, 12 o'clock?
Wow. So,
why we talk full time? Because now we're in a discovery mode now. We're discovering keys to change now.
Right.
See? And so, but when we first started talking, we were simply talking about how we felt after we bought the sex, how we felt after we people pleased. You see what I'm saying? So the change partner helps you to see. One of the things that a change partner is, nobody can give suggestions and nobody can judge. That's the two criteria. No suggestions, no judging. Now, then sometimes he'll say some stuff. I said, man, that's, to myself, man, I said, that's way out there, right? But I won't tell him that. Why? Because if he keep talking, he going to hear himself.
Right.
See, that would happen to me. That's why me and him ain't buying sex. We worked on it together.
Right.
I would tell him, man, I just finished buying sex, man, and just something's still missing. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
Out of all the money I spent, there's something broken in me.
Right.
You see, and that's how we would talk. We wouldn't hold no cards. We wouldn't, you know, wouldn't be. And because I know he's not going to judge me openly, I don't care what he do in his mind, because I can't see that. Because I know he's not going to judge me, I started telling him everything. I mean,
oh my God,
everything. And the key is you've got to talk to your change partner about how things make you feel. Because once you get in touch with the feeling, you'll get in touch with the thought behind the feeling. Once you get in touch with the thought, then you get in touch with the action.
That is amazing. So let me ask you, with this, you know, if you have a change partner, are there ever times when you and your partner can, I don't know if this is the right language, but like read each other's minds?
Let me
like
tell you,
you hear each other talking or something? Or do you communicate?
It's even deeper than that. As a matter of fact, when I can hear him talking in his voice in my head, you see what I'm saying? Sometimes I hear him, when I'm going to do something, I hear him say, man, you remember what happened last time? And it'd be in his voice. Let me tell you something even deeper. Me and him then grew so tight that we actually go through the same level of awareness at the same time. He called me this morning to talk about fear. I was getting ready to call him to tell him the discovery I realized about fear.
Wow.
We both realize fear is a tool. It's a gift. We shouldn't fear it. It's a promotion.
Oh,
see, I don't fear.
Goodness.
See, think about this. I don't fear something I already know.
Right.
I'm only fearing the unknown.
But if you fear
the unknown and don't do anything, then you can't grow.
So what do you do, or what would be your suggestion? And I encourage you, anybody, if you'd like to call in and ask Mr. Yegas a question, the number is 347-633-9113. We have 10 minutes left in the show. But what would you suggest, Mr. Yegas, if there's a person who you feel is connected, you're connected to in that change capacity, but they don't want to change or they don't see how to change? How do you work through that?
Well, first, y'all make an agreement that y'all want to commit to changing first. You got to find a person that really want to get this thing. See, because I'm going to tell you, one of the things me and him decide to do may be a different angle for you. We will first find books that we like and then come back and discuss some of the deep stuff in the book.
Right.
And then we'll share our experience. Now, if you got somebody who don't want to change, then it can't be a change partner.
Right.
Because
one of the requirements
is that they got to want to change. So, I mean, you can love somebody, but you don't have to love them and die with them too.
Right.
So that means you have to find somebody who's ready to change. See, that's the key. See, me and him are so ready to change because we got so sick and tired of being who we was. See, the pain of staying the same has to get greater than the pain of change. Let me say that again. The pain of staying the same has to get greater than the pain to change. It's all painful.
Right,
but staying the same got real painful for me. I got sick and tired of being who I was. You didn't know that, because I come on stage, I'm a different person.
Right. Is that why they say, is that why, like, and I've heard people say when you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, that's when you'll change.
Exactly.
Or that. I work with women who are abused, like, through domestic violence.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I learned in my training is that you can never tell a woman, well, if I were you, I would leave. You don't know when that, what situation that
exactly.
person, that woman, that victim is in. And
exactly.
we have always been taught in our training, the day she, because it's mostly women who are abused or victimized, the day she is ready to leave, she will leave and won't need coaxing by anyone.
You can't make nobody ready.
Is that almost like the same concept, the day somebody says, I am sick and tired of being sick and tired?
As a matter of fact, that's why when I tell you one of the criteria for having a change partner is what? We don't
both
give suggestions.
Okay.
We don't give suggestions. Why? Because I can't make him ready.
Okay,
he didn't stop buying sex at the same time I did. I got ready before he did, see?
Right.
And when I got ready, now taking account, me and him been on the phone for over 6-7 years now. Now, that's another thing, too. When you begin to change, time doesn't exist. A whole year done passed. You don't even know it's gone because you're into the change process. So when you find people, you can't make people ready. What you do is you just share your experience with them like I do. You know what I keep talking about me.
Right.
I keep talking about me because I can't make you ready. Because you know something? Everybody got to get their own pain. Pain is a gift, though, that nobody wants. Do you know the acronym for pain is?
What is it?
It's pay attention inside now. Pain. Pay attention inside now. When I'm in pain, I know it's time to learn.
Really? Oh my, so you actually relish going through a bad situation because you know, okay, I'm getting ready to learn something and come out better.
I embrace it. I don't run anymore. Let me tell you one of the things, the problem with the mind. You know what the problem with the mind is? It seeks pleasure and avoids pain. And so it actually keeps me in pain.
It does.
I suffer.
Oh, I'm sorry. Please continue.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, I've suffered from depression on and off into my early 20s and much into my adult life until I got into my 30s. And even to this day, I have a little sticker on my computer that says, learn to do it afraid. Because I would become so paralyzed by fear, I wouldn't want to make a decision, and I wouldn't move. I would just be stagnant. So I'm listening to everything you're saying, and like, oh, my God, this so applies to my life.
This what I just told you earlier, that we had the wrong relationship with fear.
Yep.
Remember, everybody around you is scared of fear. They ran from fear. What God said, I did not give you the spirit of fear.
That's right.
So, but that doesn't mean because I didn't give it to you, that don't mean you don't feel it. God didn't give us because God is spiritual, but fear comes from the physical.
Yeah.
So what do I feel? I feel a physical. Most fears is direct result of you losing something. When you lose your fear of fear, meaning when you lose, when I decided I don't, you know, you could take everything, but I'm not giving up my soul no more to anything.
Right.
When I made that decision, then there's certain things I'm not going to do. It ain't got nothing to do with anybody outside of me.
Right.
I'm not going to steal no money and none of that. I'm not going to do all that. So I did all of that stuff and still ended up feeling, you know, it was crazy. It's crazy to have everything and still feel like you don't have nothing.
You hit it right on the head. Oh, my goodness.
You see what I'm saying? You see?
Yes.
I got a piece. Yes. Yeah, I don't have all the money I want, but I got a piece that you can't buy. You can't buy this what I got. You got to work for this.
You know what? Dropping Seed Radio just said, it says, this brother is deeper than the Atlantic. Great show. Listen,
if you are in the New York,
New Jersey area, you can see Mr. Jose Villegas live this weekend at the Sheraton Newark Airport Hotel right in Newark, New Jersey, right outside of New York City. The website for the show is creatingpossibilitiesnow.com. www.creatingpossibilitiesnow.com, and his website is JV Winner, J like Jose.
Yeah, exactly.
Villegas, and then Winner. You know what? We're down to our last 5 minutes of the show, but Mr. Villegas, please continue and keep dropping the knowledge, and we're just going to keep rolling for the next couple of minutes.
Why not? Because one of the things I think we got to understand first, and nobody teaches us this. Nobody teaches us that we soul. See, the only time we hear about soul is in church, right? And they rarely talk about it now. You know, I don't know the last time I heard somebody talk about me being soul. You know?
Yeah.
Well, how did I come up with that? How did I come up? See, because I had to separate from everything for a minute. There was a time I went in the wilderness, meaning I didn't attend anything. I didn't go to church. I didn't go to AA meetings. I didn't go to NA meetings. I simply went directly to God, and I started getting this insight. I started having this. You got to have quiet time. You got to have so you can hear your inner voice. There's a voice inside of you, and so I started debating the soul thing. How I came up that we soul. When you go to bed and have a dream at night, who's watching the dream? Think about that. There got to be something still up. I'm sleeping, ain't I?
You're absolutely right. Mr. Villegas, we have a caller on the line. Can you hold one moment, please?
Go ahead.
From 860. Do you have a question for Mr. Villegas?
Hi. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I'm from Life's Cover Radio in the blog here. And basically I'm trying to promote my book, and you were talking about fear. Earlier, and I'm kind of fearful, I mean, of escaping my 9-to-5 because I'm so used to the safe zone, and I'm just wondering how do you, because I just tuned in, I was just wondering how do you overcome the safe zone, you know, the 9-to-5, and I know you overcame, you said, drug abuse, I'm reading here, and, you know, just I'm just, you know, scared because I'm confident in the book, but I don't know what to do. So,
exactly. I like that. Well, one thing I'm going to tell you, one thing I found out for me is trying to, see, I became addicted to certainty.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I was,
right.
My problem was is I needed to know too much before I make a move.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and then there was some things, what I realized that it's certain things you can't know until you make the move.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? See, because the answers are in the move,
right.
you know, and so you can't stop yourself from feeling the fear. Don't be trying to stop
right.
it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Feel it anyway, but move. That's what I'm getting at. I mean, when I first printed my book, right,
mm-hmm.
my mind didn't tell me I can sell. First, my mind fought me to even print the book. Say, man, ain't nobody going to buy your book. You don't even know how to spell. I said, thank God for spell check, you know. But the key was, see, you got to remember, you probably operating with a mind like me where we didn't see a lot of success, so my mind doesn't know that.
Right.
See, my mind can't tell me success. It does. See, my mind can only tell me what it has seen, what it knows. My mind only knows struggle and failure. That's all it knows. Everybody around me has never tried anything bigger than their job. You see
right.
what I'm saying? They ain't never tried nothing bigger than their job. So, and then the ones who did try anything, they went in thinking it wasn't going to work, so it didn't. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So what you got to do is do what I do. You got to get out there and just try. You got to go to, you know, just you go. There's books on how to promote your book. I'm still learning now. Why do you think I'm putting on my own seminars? I'm putting my own seminars because I'm trying to figure it out. I know that if I do it, here's the key. Here's the blessing. This is real important. This is the blessing. God operates through my instincts, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the key. God going to tell me what I need to know when I need to know it.
Yes.
So you don't have to know how to do it. You just need to be moving towards it.
Wow.
See, you're going to know. God, the reason you ain't getting what you want because you ain't moving.
Yes.
You got to move. And that's with everything, not just with the book. When I decided to move toward, you know, loving myself, it was hard. Something as simple as loving, you would think people would love themselves. No. When I started speaking up for myself and setting boundaries, my mind started making me feel guilty.
Wow. You are so on point. Listen, I've got to end the show there. I've got to wrap it up. You know what? I think what I'm going to do is maybe just have Mr. Villegas come even once a month maybe after, because the chat line is, like, so alive. I can't get to all the calls today because our time is almost up. But anybody that wants to see Mr. Villegas live, please log on to creatingpossibilitiesnow.com. Mr. Villegas, I want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart for sharing and dropping some knowledge with us today. As you always come and you always bring the fire. here. So thank you, and I always learn something. And to all of you in the New York area, I will be honored at the Unlocking Your Dreams Conference taking place at the Holiday Inn Saturday, August 9th. For more information, you can log on to unlockyourdreams.info to see. Don't forget to archive the show on iTunes. And I just want to say thank you for listening and know that you can experience success in every area of your life. Thanks, God, and so it is.